It's just a beautiful thing just to pause and stop about those, think about the what Jesus did. We began our Christmas series with some reflections about the Thai boys, the boys in Thailand, that soccer club, that instead of going to soccer practice, they went with their coach because it was a birthday of one of the kids. They went into these caves. You guys heard about that? All of you familiar with that? And it started to rain. And caves are not just like this. It goes all over the place. And some of the bottom parts of the cave filled up. They were trapped. And the rainy season was on the way. It was not going to get any less rainy. The water was not going to go away by itself. And all this effort, I talked a little bit about all the effort that all of the rescue people went through to rescue these boys. I have to be honest with my own heart, my own self. I thought, maybe I shouldn't say it because it revealed the darkness of my own heart. And I said, you know, what are you doing in a cave like that? And I didn't even know how deep it is. They eventually found them 2.5 miles in this whole winding cave matrix. And they brought them out by going in. And I thought about that, and I thought that must be kind of how like Jesus, his journey into the world. Where God saw the plight of mankind and said, I'm going to rescue them. They have no way of getting out themselves. Left to themselves, they will simply perish. And it was just a thoughtful reflection about how Jesus is the rescuer that went into the world and was born in a manger, really became nothing, as the scripture says. We're reflecting upon this place called Nazareth, where Jesus made his home, and how what a nothing of a place that was. We're familiar with the terms Bethlehem and Nazareth primarily because Jesus is associated with it, and we're familiar with those terms. But back in that day, it was like, as I was sharing in a Sunday school class, that it was like, Waiahole. Jesus lived in Waiahole, and I asked the class, so you guys know where Waiahole is? No. It's kind of like that, okay? So it's a little bit north of Kaneohe, and that's where Jesus grew. That's where he grew up. The king, the maker of the universe, grew up into this little no place, made himself nothing, became humble. The angel told Jesus on that first Christmas to give the child, he didn't tell Jesus, the angel told Joseph. The angel told Joseph to give the child the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. I'm sure Joseph had no idea what that meant, the fullness of what that meant. But Jesus would save his people from their sins in Matthew 1:21. In the book of Luke chapter 2, verse 11, the angels likewise declared something similar. The angels says, do not fear, for this day is born to you in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. A Savior. This is Jesus' mission statement. It is his mission, if you will, his primary mission to save the world. And I tell you what, if my own perspective, if Jesus can save us from our sins, it's easy to celebrate him. It's just easy to celebrate him. And that is the title of the sermon today. Celebrate Jesus, our Savior. And I hope that as we find out what it really means a little bit more, that we will find it easy to celebrate Jesus. Let's go to him in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you. We begin this service by saying thank you, thank you, thank you. As the announcement said, I say it too. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you've done. And now, Father, help us to celebrate Jesus for all that he's done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For many of us, when we come to know Jesus, we read the Bible stories and we kind of go through the advent of Jesus, his nativity of Jesus, and we quickly get into this mission of Jesus, and he is saying just fantastic things about the kingdom. He is healing people. He is confirming his word through miracles and signs, driving out demons, walking on water, multiplying the food. And then we realize that this Jesus has something more than just a guy. He is just more than just a prophet. He is somebody who came to save us. And in a previous message, I mentioned that us is really what it's about. Now, it's about Jesus, yes. But why did Jesus come? For us. He came for us. If we think about the story of the Thai rescue, this whole rescue was not about the rescuers. The rescue was about the boys who were trapped. And that's what God sees when he sees us. He sees we are trapped in our sins. And he brings us to this place. And he wants us to know that God wants us to know that I'm going to save you. I'm going to save you from your sins. And then we read more in the Bible, and we get hungry, and we say, Jesus, provide me food. Oh, Lord, help me with my relationship with this person because it's going bad. And these are wonderful things we need to pray about and really commit to the Lord. And then we get into the Christmas shopping season. We say, God, help me find that parking space. And we find a parking space, and then we say, thank God, right? Don't we do that, right? And does God want us to do that? Say yes. Do I hear a resounding yes?
Yes?
Yes, he does want us to do that. So nothing of what I'm going to say next takes away from any of that. That is not why he came. He did not come into the world to give you a parking space, to have you walk 30 feet closer to the store, less walk to the store. I'm sorry, folks, he just did not do that. He came to save us from the sins, our sins. And in doing so, he saves us from the consequences of our sins, all the things that happen downstream. So let's take a look at a few things that Jesus saves us from. And I want us to today to keep our eyes fixated on why Jesus came. He came to save us from our sins. Praise the Lord that it saves us from all the things that are byproducts of that sin as well. But I want to mention three things today that Jesus saved us from. He saves us from the power of sin. First of all. Secondly, he saves us from the penalty of sin. Thirdly, he saves us from the very presence of sin. First, Jesus saves us from the power of sin. And you might know what this is like if you were under the power of sin. Really, all of us are under the power of sin. We began there, I should say. We began under the power of sin. And Jesus wants to save us from that. And if you really were enslaved by your own sin, you understand. You know what it's like to be trapped, to feel trapped by your sin. You feel like a puppet on a string, a little marionette. You do not have your own control, and sin just seems to control you. And Jesus came to save us from that power of sin. You may have been watching this commercial. There's this, these guys at a financial commercial, and there's a puppeteer up here and controlling. Everybody's doing the same thing. And then this one particular person is freed from that control. Well, that's kind of how it's like. All of us begin in this place of being controlled by sin. It's not that we never sin anymore, but it's that we can not sin. Now, we're able to not sin. That's what we mean by he saves us from the power of sin. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12 says, let's read this together. Ready, go. As it is written, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. This is what God says. So while we think we can do good on our own and our own strength, our own will, our own good intentions, really God sees us and says, you guys can't do it on your own. When I first saw this scripture, I understood it well. In my early 20s, when I came to Christ, I had uncontrollable rage. I had followed peer pressure and this pathway of drugs and drinking, swearing, stealing, became an embezzler at work, and I was filled with resentment for people. Just all kinds of resentment. It's just, talk about pride. I had so much pride in my life. Despite the fact that I was full of sin, I looked down on people. And ironically, the sin did not make me feel good. It made me feel junk. So after the sin wants to kind of control me and say, you're going to really have a good thing, you know. And I sin, and then I actually feel junk after that. It didn't promise what I thought it would give me. But the life of Jesus brings us to a place where sin no longer becomes our master. It will continue to tempt us. It will continue to influence us. But it's no longer our master. Now we're able to trust Jesus. I like this sign at Waterbury Church of Christ. It really says it perfectly. It says, freedom from the power of sin and death. And this is a sermon that is going to be preached at this church. Romans 6, 6 through 14. Freedom from the power of sin and death. God gives us that freedom. And because of Christmas, we can celebrate Jesus, our Savior, being delivered from the power of sin. But Jesus also saves us from the penalty of sin. Jesus saves us from the penalty of sin. One of life's great questions is, where will I go when I die? And how do I know? Everybody wants to go to heaven. Everybody sometimes thinks they're going to heaven. They're going to heaven. But how do you know? The power of sin leads somewhere. The power of sin leads somewhere. And it leads to the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin is destruction, both now and eternal. The now destruction, we see it. When we do something wrong, then we get a consequence for that. Sin has a penalty. And there are a lot of different descriptions of what is called hell in the Bible. Now, ultimately, all these things mean an eternity of separation from God. So if you want to think about this, what does hell really look like? It's not the hell where there's a lot of flames and the devil's there with a pitchfork and kind of holding it over you. Forget that, okay? Think of it as a place of purposelessness and meaninglessness, no comfort. Take everything God, take that out of it, everything good out of this place, no comfort, no health, no morality, no meaning, no order, no hope, no beauty, no love. No joy, no peace, no goodness anywhere. That's hell. Christmas is God seeing the plight of humanity, sending Jesus into the world, into that dark cave, to bring humanity to God and bring everything that comes with God. That's Christmas. So God's gift is that of eternal life. Through the Son born on that first Christmas, Jesus. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Death, which is that separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. What a beautiful picture that is. It's a comparison between a life of death and a life with Jesus, eternal. Sin has a penalty. But Jesus saves us from the penalty of sin. So how does Jesus save us from the penalty? He saves us from the penalty by paying that penalty for us. The penalty that we deserve was death. And the best picture of this is somebody who is died on a cross, is paraded above for everybody to see, for that humiliation to see. And that belonged to us. That's supposed to be what we deserved out of our sinful life. But instead, Jesus paid the penalty on the cross. He took our place on that cross. 1 Peter 3:18 says, let's read this together. Ready? Go. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. This is what we call a substitutionary death. Christ died for sins once for all. He died for us. He took our place. That was his mission, going into the world. Many people, we're not born to die. We're born to live. And then, incidentally, we're going to die. But Jesus was not, his very mission in coming to the world was to die. He came to die for our sins. I like a line in the Christmas carol, Ring the Bells. It says, born to die that man might live, came to earth new life to give. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Jesus saves us from the penalty of sin. When he saves us from the penalty of sin, he also saves us from the guilt of sin. Just that guilt that's hanging over our head. Jesus says, I'm going to save you from that. In fact, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, as Romans 8:1 says. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what Jesus came for, to save you from the penalty of sin. He came in advance to tell you, you're not going to be condemned on that day. You're going to be saved and pardoned and released from all of your sin. Jesus came to save us from the penalty of sin. This is why we can celebrate Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thirdly, he came to save us from the presence of sin, the very presence of sin. Now, I don't know about you, but when you look around, to me, the evidence of sin is plain to see. First of all, in my own life, you and your best friend might have a falling out. You lose your loved one to a terrible disease, and you're filled with anxiety from day to day. And your heart plagued with greed and anger when words, harsh words, split families. Families who used to eat and enjoy and laugh together. When its governments, both small tribes to big superpowers, are threatening each other. Sin is everywhere. But the Bible speaks about a time when God's glorious kingdom becomes the norm. Just think about it. What's going to be normal is a time when there is no sin. All those things are going to be outside the kingdom. Revelation 22:2 says that the leaves of the trees are for the tree are for the healing of the nations. This is a great reversal from that original tree, that tree that Adam and Eve could not eat at and that brought sin into the world. This tree eradicates sin and its effectiveness. So just think about this. I want you to imagine this because you have to imagine that. That's the only thing we can do because there's no reality of this in the world. Imagine a life where every physical element is healed completely. Every mental illness is healed completely. Every financial hardship is healed completely. Every trace of greed and bitterness in your thoughts and unfulfilled dreams are healed completely. Where your disappointments and your tragedy are healed completely. Imagine that place. Imagine a place where your worst enemy and you are enjoying peace and forgiveness. Imagine a place where you actually are reconciled, and not only that, you have a deep trust for the person who used to be your enemy. Imagine a place where relations between China, Russia, North Korea, and the U.S. are in perfect harmony. Okay, now you're thinking, yeah, I really got to imagine that because that's probably not going to happen this side of heaven. Imagine Syria, Iran, Israel, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, all in loving agreement. Only in heaven. Say it with me. Only in heaven. Only in heaven. And it will be in heaven. Let's look at Revelation 21:23. This is the reason why this is going to happen. The glory of God gives it light. And the Lamb, the Son of God, Jesus, is its lamp. On that day, the realm of God will eradicate the presence of sin. We can wait around for that day, hope expectantly for that day. But you know, and that's good, we should do that. But you know, we can experience a little bit of that now, just a little foretaste of that now. How can we do that? 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 tells us how we can experience that now. Let's read this together. 1 John 1, 5 through 7. Ready? Go. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses from all sin. I love that word, cleanses us from all sin, every sin washed away. This happens. This scripture is not looking forward. This scripture is looking at life today. Imagine living your life cleansed from sin. That happens when we walk in the light, when we understand the Word of God. God's Word lights our way, and we can walk in obedience to that. His presence shines on us. We can experience that presence even today. But in that day in eternity, all sin will be gone. I look forward to that day. I can't help it. And for that reason, we can celebrate Jesus our Savior. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, being saved from the power of sin, from the penalty of sin, and the presence of sin is all summarized in a phrase, one phrase of the angel to Joseph. Give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. He will save us from the power of sin, the penalty of sin, and the presence of sin. But you know, God does not want this just to be theological, just a theory in our minds. We can experience this today by having Jesus in our lives. That's why Jesus came. When the Thai boys who were trapped in the cave were rescued and they were reunited with their families, I read some of the stories about this, and what a celebration it was. What a celebration it was. How happy the parents were. And you know what the boys said? We promise you we won't go into a cave when we're supposed to go playing soccer. Isn't that a good one? They learned their lesson. I hope we can learn our lesson too as we invite Jesus into our lives. Let's go to him in prayer now. If you have never invited Jesus into your life, you can invite him simply by asking him to come in. When I heard the gospel for the first time, I knew I had had enough of sin controlling my life. I just had enough. And I was ready to give my life to Jesus. And he transformed my life. He wants to save you too from the power of sin, from the penalty of sin, and from the very presence of sin. Father in heaven, we give you this time, Lord, to celebrate Jesus' coming into the world to save us from our sins. It's more than we can ever know, but thank you that we can understand that you save us from the power of sin, that you give us the ability to walk obediently to you. You save us from the very penalty of sin. Our paths were destined, and we deserved a hell. When we turn our back on you, we deserve for you to turn your back on us. And yet, Lord, you don't. Lord, we are grateful that you save us, came to save us from the very presence of sin. Lord, many of us have accepted Jesus, his salvation. And we thank you. We return a celebration, a heart of celebration to you today. Thank you for all you've done. And if anyone has not accepted Jesus Christ here today, I offer this prayer that you would follow me in prayer, this simple prayer. Lord Jesus, Your Bible says that you came to save me from my sins. I see my sins, and I want to be saved from that. Come and save me, Jesus. I accept you as my Savior, and I want to follow you all my days so that I may have victory over the power of sin, so that I may not be condemned, and I may live in a place with you forever and ever, free from sin. And if you pray that prayer, you receive Jesus, Jesus will come into your life and give you eternal life and a fellowship with him. Now, Lord, we continue to celebrate with you and give you glory for all you've done. Praising your name, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, and together we say, amen. Amen. We're going to finish up our service by singing several songs here. And it's only right to sing, and Christmas, there's so many different songs. And we just want to invite you to join in with us as we wrap up our service in song today.